Acts chapter 1, verse 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men, gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up from before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Now there's at least six or seven sermons in those 11 verses, but I'm not going to preach all six or seven, just one. Well, possibly one and a half, or maybe two. The thing is, Jesus is in heaven, physically, personally, as a man. Jesus is in heaven. When the Holy Spirit impregnated the womb of Mary, heaven, the Trinity, there were only two parts of God left in heaven, the Father and the Holy Spirit. The Son was in the womb of Mary. When Jesus ascended into heaven, as we've just read, the Trinity became three again, but not the same, because Jesus was a man, and the Godhead became Father, Son, man, and Holy Spirit for a week. And then the Holy Spirit came to the earth. And at the moment, God in heaven is God the Father, who is Spirit, God the Son, who is a man. And so the Trinity of God is divided now between the two in heaven and the one on earth, which is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is on earth. Jesus is in heaven. So a lot of people make the mistake when they talk about Jesus being in me. Jesus is not in me. Jesus is in heaven. I am in Christ, the scripture says. I am in Christ. The Holy Spirit is in me. As the Father sent the Holy Spirit to dwell within the individuals of the church. Well, that's just one sermon, really, or just a half a sermon. But just to get things right about the Trinity. You know, when Jesus was upon earth, the Trinity was in two places. Two parts of the Trinity were in heaven, one part was upon earth. And Jesus was a man. Now he is the man in heaven with God as part of the Trinity. The Trinity's changed. Something difficult to get your head round, isn't it? But as you read the scriptures and you let the Holy Spirit speak to you from the scriptures, you'll find that that is absolutely the case. So why do we emphasize being filled with the Holy Spirit? Because that is the gift that God has given to the church, whereby we can live as Christians in a very unchristian world. It's no wonder that so many Christians, in inverted commas, don't last the course. It's because they don't experience the infilling of the Holy Spirit, so that when difficulties and adversities and problems arrive, they only have their own resources to call upon. And they haven't got the Holy Spirit as a resource to call upon. Because the Holy Spirit within us that gives us the strength to live and to witness as true believers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you with me? Not many. Now, my testimony is that ever since I became a Christian, I've been part of Bethel Christian Fellowship, or Whittam Assemblies of God, as it was then when I was a kid. And I've always accepted what I've been taught concerning the Bible. There is, however, one major teaching that I have an issue with, and this concerns the rapture of the church and the second coming of Jesus. It's not that I don't believe they'll happen. I really do believe that they'll happen. It's the sequence of those events as they've been taught over the last 120, 130 years that I've come to have a problem with. The focus of that teaching has been that Jesus could return at any moment, even today, even before we finish our meeting, and that we've got to put our house in order by accepting Jesus as our Saviour immediately in order not to be left behind at the rapture of the church. And there have been some very sensational things published and films have been made about being left behind, about aeroplanes falling out of the sky and all this kind of stuff. But I don't agree with all that. But I do agree that we have to preach the gospel and that people do need to repent before God. I need to have a faith in Jesus as their only sacrificial Saviour. I do need to be baptised in water. And we do need to receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit. In other words, all men need to be born again. We need to be born again. Question is this morning, are you born again? Have you been born again? Have you repented before God of your sin? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your only sacrificial Saviour? Having done that, have you been baptized in water? Having those three things done, have you received the Holy Spirit? Is the Holy Spirit alive and working in you, quickening the scriptures to you as you read them? We do need to be born again because we don't know how short our life is. Is it absolutely true I could leave this life today? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. I know where I'm going. I know what my destiny is. I know where I shall end up the moment my spirit leaves this body. This is good news. It's not alarmist propaganda, as some of the stuff that's been written is. It's alarmist propaganda. It brings people to a sense that they've personally turned away from God or ignored him and need to repent. That's what the gospel is. We need to tell people that they need to repent. One of the questions somebody asked is, what is the best thing you can say to an unsaved person? What's the best that you can tell them? Is it that God is love? No, it's not. The best thing that you can tell an unbeliever is that God is just. God is just. What God says he will do, he will do. What God says will happen, will happen. God is just. He does not change his mind. He does not say one thing one day and another thing the next. God is a just God. So Jesus will return to planet Earth. We read that. He will bring the redeemed of all ages with him when he does return. But I can't find evidence in my Bible to say that he'll return within the short term. I can't see anything in the scriptures that said Jesus will return today, tomorrow, this week, or even this year, maybe not even this decade. I can't find that in the scriptures. Why do I believe that? Simply because what Jesus said, Matthew 24, and in the Old Testament from Daniel and Zechariah and other prophets, and also from the book of Revelation. Things on earth have got to get a lot worse yet before they suddenly get immeasurably better at Jesus' actual return to earth. As I've said, Jesus is currently in heaven with the Father, acting as our defending counsel against the accusations of Satan. You see, it's by his wounds, the scripture says, that we're healed from our sins. The scars of his trial and death will always be there. Visible testimony that he died as our substitute, in order to bear away our sins. It's also through Jesus that our prayers are presented to the Father. Because as Jesus said, nobody comes to the Father except through me. So it's through Jesus that we offer our prayers to our Father God in heaven. After Jesus ascended into heaven, as I've said, the Holy Spirit was the person of the Godhead who came to infill believers with power to live and witness as Christians within an earthly environment. But one day Jesus will personally and physically return. The man is coming back. He's coming back as a man. And he's coming back with all the saints. He's coming back to earth. The earth he left all those many years ago. Although when that will happen, even he doesn't know. The angels don't know. Jesus don't know. We don't know. But we do have to be ready for his return. The signs are given to us so that we're not caught unawares. Now I'm convinced that unless events in the world accelerate extremely quickly, and let's be honest, they can do. The evidence of this coronavirus has proved that. Mind you, so did the Spanish flu in 1918, but there's nobody here, I don't think, that can remember that. Don't think there's anybody here that can remember that. No, I don't think so. But that wiped out more people than coronaviruses. Wiped out millions from the face of the earth, a bit like bubonic plague. So I'm convinced that unless things happen extremely quickly, it'll be some years yet before we can expect Jesus' imminent return. People say we're living in the last days. Well, we're not. We might be living in the last days, but we're not living in the last of the last days. I believe what we're living in is the beginning of the last days. Things are beginning to accelerate. They're beginning to become more apparent. Although we see an increasing number of natural phenomena, an increase in the number of earthquakes, floods, tempests, we've only got to go back just a month, and we haven't experienced probably 2 or 3 weeks of storm like that, as far as I can remember in my lifetime. And I'm a little bit older than Chris. I wish I was 44 and he was 77, but there we are. No, I don't wish you were 77 really, Chris, but I do wish I was 44. The Bible indicates that these things are going to increase, they're going to become even more terrible before Jesus returns. The natural disasters, however, will eventually give way to divine judgments being outpoured upon this earth. And those divine judgments, a great miscellany of them that you read about in the scriptures, they will actually culminate in an all-consuming 7-year-long world dictatorship instigated by Satan, who will masquerade as a false God the Father. He'll be implemented by the Antichrist, imitating a false God the Son, and a false prophet imitating a false God, the Holy Spirit. A false Trinity imitating the Holy Trinity of the true Godhead. And this will be called, as it's called in the scriptures, the Great Tribulation or the Big Trouble. Now, I was taught right from the beginning of my Christian walk that we as the church, the true believers in Jesus Christ, will escape all this. And what is called the rapture, the calling away of the church, the resurrection of those dead in Christ, and the calling away of those believers still alive, they'll precede all this trouble coming upon the earth. And I was brought up with that. A lot of you were brought up with that, no doubt. But in the light of what I've come to understand from the scriptures, I can't now subscribe to that view. I can't take that in. I can't live in that. As mentioned earlier, I believe that things on earth will get progressively much worse before Jesus returns, and things will then get rapidly, even immediately better. Could you put that slide up for me, guys? Is that working all right? Oh yeah, that is up there. I've got a little paper copy, so I don't have to turn me back on you. We're living in that first downward slope that you can see there. Maybe we're just off the page a bit at the moment. Things will get progressively worse before Jesus returns, and then things will get rapidly better. The perpendicular line there. The true church, true believers, I believe, according to the scriptures, will suffer persecution, similar, if not worse, to what's being suffered now by Christians in many parts of the world. It'll be a time of persecution, the like of which we in the West have never known. Never known. We don't know what it is really to be persecuted. We haven't really got much of an idea. We read about it. We talk about the persecuted church. As a fellowship of believers, we do have a concern for the persecuted church. But don't run away with the idea that we're never going to be persecuted. We are. It's coming. Many will recant. Many will fall away from their faith in Christ, giving in to the pressures imposed by the world system and false religions. Even now we're seeing it. We're being encouraged to join in with other religions. We're being encouraged to leave our principles behind. The way the world is operating, the way that things are happening in the world, we're being encouraged not to be isolationists as far as Christians are concerned. But we should be. We've been told many times as a church over the last little while, I can remember, we've got to stand firm. We've got to be prepared to stand firm upon the basis of the scriptures, because that will, people will try and erode that from us. They'll try and take that away from us. So they'll tell us, you know, it's all nonsense. You know, you can find any way to God. It doesn't really matter. But according to what Jesus said, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I don't know about you, but I find that there are pressures being imposed upon the church more and more as every year goes on. We need to be ready, need to be prepared to maintain our faith in Jesus' sacrificial death, resurrection, and ascension, and be filled continually with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that will enable us to stand in the face of persecution. Don't think you're going to stand because of your own will. You won't. You won't. We shall be able to stand because of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Now, as I say, things are going to get progressively worse down that falling slope there until Christ returns at the rapture. Now, this period of decline, the last 7 years of this period of decline, which the scripture says God is going to cut short. The scripture says God's going to cut it short, so it's the worst trouble is only going to be for 7 years. At the very end, the last 3.5 years of which sees unprecedented persecution, both for Christians and Jews, under the universal rule of Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. With their center of authority and false worldwide religion, it will be based in Jerusalem. The acceptance of their rule will be the identifying tattoo 666 upon the hand either the palm or the back of the hand or upon the forehead. And it will be impossible, if you haven't got that 666 tattoo, it will be impossible to buy or sell life's essentials. It won't be possible. It'll be worse than the coronavirus. A lot worse. Now people have asked, will God make special provision for believers as he did for Israel before the plagues in Egypt? Will God make a special provision for Christians? I don't know. But I don't think so. I don't think so. Can't find it in the scriptures. What I do know is at the end of that 7-year period, Jesus returns. Jesus returns. Only one more page. As Jesus returns, right at the bottom there, all those dead in Christ will be raised to life, and all those still alive in Christ will be caught up with them, meeting Jesus in the air as he returns. And this rapture, that's what it's called, will take just a blink of an eye, just a trice. And we shall all be changed into his likeness and return to earth with him. Will that be marvellous? Will that be wonderful? Just think, I shall be changed. Won't you be glad? Not half as glad as me, because all you lot will be changed as well. We shall be changed. The twinkling of an eye. Yeah. Isn't that marvellous? And all those that have gone on before, all those dead in Christ, will be raised to life. In the twinkling of an eye. Yeah. Oh boy, what a day. As the old hymn said, what a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. Yeah. So whether we go via the grave, or whether we endure the persecution, and we're still alive when Jesus returns, we shall meet him. We shall be like him. Somebody says we'll all be 33. Well, I don't necessarily agree with that. But Jesus will be 33 when he returns, because he'll be the same as when he comes back as he was when he went. So he'll still be 33. But we probably won't be. But we shall be with him. And we'll return. We'll return. Immediately, that perpendicular line there. Life immediately improves. And he will set up his government and rule upon the earth. The Antichrist and the false prophet will at this time be cast into the lake of fire. There's no escape from that. Satan will be imprisoned. He'll be chained for a period of 1,000 years. It's called the millennium, that horizontal line, Christ's millennial reign. Satan imprisoned. Jesus and his church, both Gentile Christians and believing Jews, will govern the earth. What are we going to do? I don't know. What you might do? David there was a very good school teacher. Him. The Lord may say to him, you were a school teacher in junior school, I'll give you the headship of a top academy in England. Yeah. Paul was a machinist in a factory. God will say, you were a good machinist, I'll make you the foreman, I'll make you the manager in the biggest car manufacturing plant in the world. There are, Paul, rule that. I'm a parish clerk. God may say to me, Keith, you've been a good parish clerk. I'll make you the chair of the London Authority. Would that be great? Watch out, Boris, here I come. But you see, whatever we're doing now, we're doing for the Lord, and God is proving us. He's proving us. Whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord, because you're in training, church. You're in training for when Jesus returns and we rule the world. We rule the world. You've been faithful over 10 talents, I'll make you ruler over 10 cities. You've been faithful over 5 talents, I'll make you ruler over 5 cities. Yeah, we're being prepared. We're being prepared. Christ is coming to rule the world, and the church and the believing Jews will rule with him. Because when Christ returns, the scripture says that they'll look on him whom they pierced, and they will believe. They will believe. So there's hope for Israel yet. Israel is not cast off. They have a role to play. The seat of this world rule will be Jerusalem. Yeah, we're destined to reign with Jesus upon this earth. The time to prepare for this is now. Now, at the end of this millennial period, God will release Satan from his confinement. Now, I wonder why. Well, the reason is that when Satan is released, he will prove the fallibility of mankind once again, because many will be seduced to turn away from the peace of Jesus' reign and rule, so much so that Satan is able to amass a mighty army. I don't know what form it will take. I don't know whether it will be mechanized or what. I don't know. But they will come against Jerusalem. They will come against the reign of Jesus, only to be totally destroyed with one word from the mouth of Jesus. You don't think that's possible? Oh, yes, it is. What does the scripture says? He spoke the word, and the whole universe came into being. He spoke, and it happened. The whole world, the whole universe, the sun, the moon, stars, the firmament of heaven, which is beyond men's understanding. Beyond men's understanding. They're sending probes to the sun and to Mars. But they're only touching the surface, really. Just scratching the surface of infinity. When the Russians first went into space, they came back and they said, we never saw God. No, they didn't go far enough. They only went a little way. They didn't go far enough to see God. Satan will eventually be destroyed and cast into that lake of fire with all the unregenerate of all ages who will stand before Jesus at the great white throne judgment to give an account of why they didn't accept Christ as their Lord and Saviour. And there'll be no excuses. No excuses. That having cleansed this old earth for everything that defiles, and if you go back into Genesis, you'll find that there are 3 curses that God gives in Genesis chapter 3. He curses the earth, he curses man, and he curses the serpent. 3 curses. And the last curse to be destroyed will be the curse on the earth, when God rolls up the earth like a scroll, it says, rolls it up. And then he'll introduce a new heaven and a new earth. So when Satan is finally punished, we have a new heaven and a new earth. We go up again, and then we have another straight line, new heaven and a new earth, which will last for all eternity. New heaven and a new earth. And it's so wonderful that John was lost for words when he was given a vision of it in Revelation. Absolutely lost for words. How can you describe something which is indescribable? You can't, can you? You just have to do the best you can. And he was lost in wonder, lost in praise. And you know, the greatest thing about it all is that God himself will fellowship with mankind, with all the believers of all ages, with each one of us. God will fellowship with us as he fellowshiped with Adam in the Garden of Eden before the fall. God will walk with us. God will talk with us. God will fellowship with us in a new creation. A new creation. One of the few things I agree with in Handel and his Messiah is the bit where it says, "And he shall reign forever and ever." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He shall reign forever and ever, and we will reign with him. Are you looking forward to that? I'm not looking forward to the persecution bit, but I know that God will be with me. I know that God will lead me. I know that God will take me by the hand. He will lead me. He will care for me. He'll watch over me. And even if I have to go through death, I know that God will be with me. Amen? Is that your testimony this morning? God is with you? You are with God? You have Christ as your Savior and whatever happens? And we can't shy away from all these things. We have to be aware of them. It's no good, you know, reading the scriptures and leaving these bits out and not taking account of them. They will happen. They are going to happen. God said that they will happen. The scripture says that they will happen. And they will happen. And we're having a little foretaste of it now. When my wife told me this morning that next week all those over 70 will probably have to be shut up indoors, I said, "I'm not going to be shut up indoors. I don't want to do that. I'm fit. I'm well. But if it happens by law, then I'll have to obey the law. But I won't like doing it." As a little boy who was told to sit down, and he did sit down, but he said, I'm sitting down in my body, but in my mind I'm still standing up. But God is with us. Amen. We will not be dismayed. Amen? Amen? We will not be distracted. We will not let men take our testimony away from us. No? We will trust the scriptures, yes? Yes. We believe in the word of God. Yes. Be honest. Do you read the scriptures every day? Yes. Do you hear what Alan said last week about the scriptures? Do you read the scriptures every day? Or do you on a Sunday have to blow the dust off it? It's there for us. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I think we're going to sing a song to finish with, are we not?